Ideas are synergy.
Ideas are collaboration.
An idea is a lit fuse ready to explode.
Kaboom Collective is lighting that fuse and transforming the future of arts education from the music stand to the big screen.
Students like us from a variety of artistic disciplines come together to participate in production-based learning, work with industry professionals, and bring creative projects to life.
I'm Meredith.
And I'm Bella.
Welcome to KaboomCast.
Here we glow.
And welcome back to KaboomCast. Today we are happy to introduce you all to LaToya Kent, James Longs, and Teresa May of Morning a Black Star. How are you guys today?
Good.
Hey.
Doing all right.
Might as well start you off with a pretty simple question. Why Kaboom for this collaboration?
So we were, I'm trying to remember the first time we saw Kaboom. We were sharing a stage.
Yeah, for the Cleveland Art Prize.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we won the Cleveland Art Prize and Kaboom was playing, not with us.
No, like the intro music in between like some of the winners of the art prize.
Yeah. And so we were on a European tour, our first European tour, full tour, second time in Europe. And we were in Italy, I believe it was Monte Cassaro.
Sure.
Pordenone, one of those.
We'll,
I forget
we'll go
which
with that.
One.
Right.
And we were, this idea popped in, and I went to Teresa and I'm like, we should work with an orchestra and, you know, do some shows with an orchestra. It'd be really cool. And Teresa said, oh, when we get back home, like, we can talk to Kaboom. And I was like, oh, yeah, the group. Because mm-hmm. it was a smaller setup for us, Cleveland Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. And then here we are.
Yeah, I think we talked about it more in detail when we got back. And then mm-hmm. it was a bit after I had started working mm-hmm. as the brass coach for Kaboom. And I was like, you know, I know some people. I know an orchestra. And it works out. I mean, it's kind of perfect because, you know, the Kaboom Collective, Morning at Black Star is a collective. Mm-hmm. We're both really collaborative and it just seemed like a really great match.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, how are you feeling about it so far?
It feels really good. It's it's almost surreal. That's the word I used during Tuesday's practice, because you get to hear all of the pieces and parts and how you interpret mm-hmm. what you hear, and so it gives it kind of like a new outfit. It's like we're used to playing it and hearing it the way that we hear it, but then for somebody else, for all of you, to bring it, like give it new life. It's like putting on a prom dress. Like, ooh, I get to like be something different.
Like a nice prom dress, not one of the poofy.
Not one of those. Like,
I was also impressed with their tasty choices.
Oh yeah.
Like a lot of times, people will take music and reinterpret it in some way, and they're just filling it in with their ideology or their belief of what it should sound like or what I would do. But this was like it serviced the songs. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like nice, educated, smart decisions and. Sometimes less is more in these little quiet little quips of sound. And it was so mature. I was really surprised, happily surprised.
Yeah, because through Kaboom, we're asked to make decisions and like see it in a new light.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really special, like especially when the band comes, because we can hear everything come together and like the little decisions that we've been making.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice when it does work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all good.
Yeah.
It really does feel like putting on like the prom dress when you get to hear those songs come together. You're like, oh, this individual part I've been practicing at home every once in a while is like, sounds like this when you put it together.
Uh-huh.
It's magical. Like
it's
actually magical mm-hmm. to hear like the message and the music and the whole thing come to life. And it's just, it's fantastic. I'm so excited for this concert we're putting together. Like the whole nine yards, all of it, the message, mm-hmm. the music, the atmosphere. What would you tell people? What are they supposed to expect from it?
Do you mean people that know Morning of Black Star or people when they just come in and see the show because they're supporters of music?
Anyone.
People that know Morning of Black Star, I think, will be surprised at the expansion, but it still is very true to what we are trying to communicate and what we're trying to do musically and artistically. Mm-hmm. So I think that it'll just be a brighter, bigger experience, you know, like turning the volume up, but your speakers are really good.
You know? Yeah. Like more holistic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that that's what they're experiencing. And if you are a person that is just coming in support of music who is not familiar with our music, I think it's just going to be an explosion of sound. It's going to be a colorful explosion. And then after you absorb that, you'll run it through your mind and think about, oh my God, the narrative of what they're talking about is also significant. You know, it's not just one thing. I mean, this is some deep meaning, important things we talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the main message that you want to get across?
Oh,
because I know there's so many.
Another podcast for that one. Yeah. The message I personally, James Longs of Morning a Black Star, wants to get across is that this is, a lot of people interpret us in terms of being like, you know, it's a black band and we talk about these social things, but they frame it that way. But we defend and talk about the human experience. Everybody, anybody in the circumstances that we happen to discuss through our music, we're defending those people. You know what I mean? It's not from one perspective. There is no one perspective. We are all together, and this is right or it's wrong. It is a binary situation. This is not right. You know what I mean? So that's what we talk about, and I would like people to start to really look at it through that lens, me personally, that we're defending the rights and kindness of human experience. You know,
That was great explanation.
Yeah. I mean, in the music, I think it just talks about like James was saying, our human experiences, but like most of us happen to be black.
Right. Like, exactly right.
It's not like we're black and, you know, writing this music about the black experience, but it is because we happen to be black. But yeah, I would say the subject matter of most of our music is, I mean, it varies, of course, but love. We've got love songs. We've got songs talking about unequal and unfair wages. And, you know, we've all had crappy jobs that don't pay us fairly. So, you know, just many subjects that we as humans experience together.
It's truly beautiful. And like letting that sink in for an audience, especially incorporating a group of young people like Meredith and I and Kaboom as a whole, I think there's something really, really powerful about that, especially like sending that audience to 2054, seeing that 30 years in the future, things aren't awful, that people have made change, that people will make change because they value mankind. They value the human experience, and they value that kindness and that love that music is trying to get across.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep.
How do you imagine that stage taking people to 2054? Like, what are your, like, visions for that? Like, what do you see up there?
That sounds like a James Longs question.
That's funny. As I was pacing myself, like, James, no. I think the diversity that the orchestra and Morning of Black Star are going to show will help support what I was just talking about, like, everybody's together. It's a collaboration. So in order for a collaboration to work, and you know, effectively, there has to be courtesy, there has to be respect, there has to be a willingness to be heard and a willingness to listen. You have to leave. You know, it's like traffic. Turn signal, I'm going to let you on. That makes traffic move more smoothly versus, like, you know, aggression in that situation. So when you look at this, you're looking at all these people together from different ages, you know, different backgrounds, different racial experiences. And that's across the board, by the way. Everybody's experience is what it is. You know what I mean? So how can these people come together and have such an infinitely deep harmony? That is a reflection of what society should do by these basic rules of common courtesy. Understanding, listening is trying to understand their viewpoint, right, not get them to understand yours. Communication, rather. You know what I mean? So how do we communicate as a group? Once we do that, beautiful things can happen. And I think this is a true representation of that ideology.
What's on your coffee? I think I need some of that coffee.
Well, you know, I sit up at night and think these things. That's why I'm tired.
No. I was going to... Oh, sorry. No, I was going to just piggyback off of what James was saying about, you know, just so many different people being on the stage at the same time and having that collaborative experience together. I mean, and also in the very like a basic way of having an orchestra with Morning at Black Star, you know, fundamentally is a classical-ish orchestra with a heavily electronic beat based band, you know, and trumpet with electronic effects. Like that's something that you don't typically see, but these two worlds can combine and collab and create something beautiful.
Yeah, no, and it's really cool because like, because typically we're a studio orchestra and we just record music, but that we're doing this performance and recording live and just the collaboration live of everyone coming together. I think that's gonna be really special because it's like, I don't know, everyone's gonna be in the moment fully, and so what's on video is going to capture everyone's feelings and everyone's emotions.
Agreed.
Yeah, because the live, you know, the live performances and that experience is totally different than a studio feeling, you know?
Because I feel like in the studio, you're like, okay, I got to get this right. Like sometimes you get into that groove and you're like, you're vibing. But then live is totally different because you have that rush of like, this is exciting. Like, I don't know, like there's just like... You get this like live high. Like,
Exactly.
And it's hyper focused too, because I have to hit this note. There's no like, okay, well, I'll dub it again. You know, I have to be there, and it's a responsibility to the people around me. You know, to be there on time and in that place and hit it properly, which can choke some people up. You know, the pressure of that, or you just understand it and you kind of giggle and enjoy it. You know, I'm doing the best I can up here in front of this huge crowd of people. I'm just exposing myself emotionally. There's no room to feel, to me, intimidated. I'm doing something such a small percent of people would be willing to do. So if I totally fail, it doesn't matter. I the attempt is where the value lies, in my opinion, you know. But don't fail.
The pressure's on.
Right.
There's something so inherently human about performance and like bearing yourself in that way, especially to like a crowd. And that's something I love about live recordings. They're so, so human. And you hear all the little things. And that's part of what makes it beautiful.
Exactly.
That's kind of something I also love about Kaboom studio recordings, that we leave in some of those little things.
Doesn't have to sound human.
Super ultra perfect robotic all the time. And sometimes you hear that in your recordings and you're like, oh. Where's the rest of it?
We record in that way. So those little pieces that someone may feel like is imperfection is what you felt in that moment. And so listening to an album that feels like the stage is different than listening to an album where somebody's trying to make it quote unquote perfect. So we very much lean into that when we're recording. And so when we get on stage, we give it what we have and we do the same in the studio. So I'm personally hoping for that everybody is fully engaged, relaxed in the moment, and just present with each other. And it doesn't mean to ignore the audience, but what's on the stage is what brings the energy to the room. So really wanting to make sure that everyone is really connected so that we can do what we came to do.
It reminds me of like the Stax records versus Motown records.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
totally different.
Like Motown was just like hit after hit, but like also very perfection based. And Stax, like if you listen to some of their recordings, the horn parts, like there's one song that's actually missing. The trumpet didn't come in. Typical trumpeter. But the trumpet player forgot to come in the first time and then they kept it rolling and they came in later. But like that's the one that they kept, even though, you know, there was some obvious, you know, mistakes. But the feel of the room and the feel of that recording was why they kept it. Not about perfection, but about the feel and the feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to learn that through this experience.
Yeah.
I, I believe in hitting it, coming in tight, you know, but there is something about the evidence of organic creation, mm-hmm. you know, the truth, like the honesty of your performance mm-hmm. is also a key ingredient. Mm-hmm. So that is a thing. It's hard to capture that in recording. Mm-hmm. You know, you think you're playing it the same, but you're taking away the listener's ability to watch your expression as you're doing this yeah. or mm-hmm. how you play and how you roll yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
So how do you communicate that on wax? You know, mm-hmm. that's a hard thing. But I think those little organic slips yeah. are kind of key. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It makes it human. You remember, so Morning at Blackstar, we did a residency series during the really? Pandemic when things were shut down. And I think that's when I'll say we all first realized how weird it is to perform without an audience. Mm-hmm. And we were so stiff in our recordings. We were being, we videoed it, right? And recorded mm-hmm. it. But yeah, I remember there's the first several takes we did. It was stiff and it was not good. Mm-hmm. It felt weird mm-hmm. and we didn't have an audience, you know.
Yeah. But interesting. It allowed us to grow in a way where now I think we're really kind of polished in a Morning of Black Star polished way. Mm-hmm. Like to express what we do, mm-hmm. you know, it's very specific, I feel.
But that did something special for us too, because we were so used to, it's like a relationship, the band or the musicians with the audience. Mm-hmm. And when the audience isn't there and they're not, it's like a push and pull thing. You give them energy, they give you energy, and it happens throughout the show. And that's what, you know, that's what makes it what it is. Mm-hmm. And during that time, it was during COVID, and so when we were recording the residencies, we were in these venues that we had played many times with audiences, and there was no one there. And so
it echoes.
Yeah. You almost have to, like, you know, it's like this place of like, okay, you can't pretend that they're there because they're not, because there's no one, you know, the energy isn't there. Mm-hmm. And so you have to almost like being in a studio and mm-hmm. recording, as opposed to feeling like you were doing a concert. Mm-hmm. It was very different for us. But it wasn't that it was a challenge. It was just something that was different than what we were used to.
It's unexpected too. There was no blueprint for that.
Yeah. No, I don't think we even realized what it was going to feel like until we were physically doing it. And yeah. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah,
so
we need
all the people to come to the show so yes. we can
yes,
have
yes, yes, yes. crowds
and share
Everybody
the
show
experience.
Up. yeah. You heard it now, folks.
Yes.
Yeah, I promise we will give it back. I promise.
Yes.
Because, like, you can feel the energy going back between sections.
Mm-hmm.
And then, especially because you guys are here now, like, yeah. feeling it not only between sections, but between all the singers and mm-hmm. all the other instruments.
Mm-hmm.
But then it'll be interesting to play with an audience to see, because mm-hmm. not only do we have the push and pull between the different sections mm-hmm. and the individual people, but then the push and pull of the audience.
Yeah.
So right. that's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The moment I think of is when we were in that rehearsal on Tuesday and that button was first pressed to get that little electronic sound going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The way my face lit up, the way that whole room just went, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that on an audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so excited. And that vibe, it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to R.A.
Yes.
The originator of Morning Black Star. He always gets mad when I do this, but it is what it is.
And the vibe brings me to another question. What do you expect it to look like visually? Like, what are your ideas? What's buzzing up there?
What colors?
Yep, that's a good
We've
question.
Been so we usually wear all black. That's like kind of
She's lying.
No, that's not true.
She's lying right now.
So we usually wear all black.
That's what she says, and then she comes in bright colors. All right, let's tell it like it is.
And then sometimes
occasionally
we coordinate.
Yeah, yeah, so there we go. That's honest.
We make sure that usually it's me and Teresa.
Yeah,
Teresa
looking good, and I'm out of sync because you told me something different.
that's not true. You always have your pop of
color.
I got
my pimp game on. It's not matching.
But we were talking about that. Like, so do we still wear black, or do we do something to differentiate ourselves from, you know, the orchestra? So we're playing around with what will look really cool.
I'm waiting to hear.
Because we've done things where we're like, oh, everybody wears red or everybody wears white. Mm-hmm. And so we're wanted to be a surprise.
But yeah, we're ready to bring it. We always, well, when we do projects like this and collaborations like this, we have a band meeting and talk about costumes. Or I guess mm-hmm. it's really not a meeting, like me and you.
Tell everybody else what they're going to wear.
Inform us of what is happening.
You're going to wear this.
We talk about what might look good and then spread the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's an artistic thing. Yeah. It's not flippant. You know, like how is our look going to either blend or separate or stand out, or, you know, and support the music? It has to support that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And that goes back to this whole 2054 storyline thing that I love so deeply. I am so excited for this and communicating that visually, because music, like you said, it's not just about like hearing the sound. You watch them get into it. You watch their facial expression. You watch their body language. You see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. All of that and how we're going to get across visually. This is the future. This is what the future is going to be. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Any of you guys want to talk more about that storyline? Like what it means to you personally, what you want to see out of it?
I think my biggest takeaway, and again, shout out to RA who mm-hmm. wrote the entire script. Mm-hmm. It's the hopefulness in it. And I love the fact that the person that will be doing some narration throughout will be a child or a younger person delivering, like, you know, the script part of the performance. And I just think that that ties with the entire event and performance of us coming together and being extra collaborative in what we do and maintaining that sense of hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hope is really important. Mm-hmm. I feel, especially because as things are heading now, like with everything, mm-hmm. there's a lot of not hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just finding hope in all the different areas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To kind of think there's a change I can make, or there's a change that we all can make. Like yep. mm-hmm. there is hope for the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All change starts with grassroots movements. It's mm-hmm. like
yeah.
you're never heard and nobody even knows the rumblings are going on. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden, you know, it catches fire and it expands and grows. And you didn't even know that over there that was happening as well. And over here that was happening as well. And behind me until you realize like, wow, we are a thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think we're just kind of reflecting that process, you know, even musically, how we're coming together. I mean, you know, we've never done this. This is not a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a normal thing for us. We didn't think mm-hmm. it was possible, you know, to expand the concept of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a reflection of the direction we should go societally. So
yeah, because I feel like societally, a spark here, a spark there,
right, mm-hmm.
and all mm-hmm. of a sudden, kaboom.
Yeah.
Well played.
Yes. Just think about that one for a second.
That was fire.
But it's also connected to like universal needs and desires. And once we realize that we all are kind of looking for something similar to change and happen, we know what we're disgruntled about. We know what brings us pain. We know what we see that we don't like. And once we're able to really start to discuss that with each other and really come upon like a solution that is universally accepted, then the change begins to take place.
Mm.
And so really thinking about when we think about the future, really connecting to what that means. What collectively are we all looking for? What collectively have we decided that we don't want anymore? And then bringing that to the forefront and seeing it flourish. But it has to be something that everybody on a whole mm-hmm. globally wants to see happen.
It also has to be very personal. Mm-hmm. Right now, everybody's very much into, you know, exposing themselves and you know, showing what they're doing and their viewpoints, and it's very, very, very out there. It's got to be that private emotional thing that you hold. Honor is a gift a person gives to themselves, as the expression goes. You know, it has to be something that is so you that even in the smallest little exchange, you're expressing your ideology, your belief system about how you carry yourself, how you present yourself, and how you respect others. You know what I mean? It's everybody respects when it's convenient. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to respect when you're challenged, when you really don't like this person or what they said. Look at the big picture. What's motivating them to behave in this manner? You know what I mean? And then leave space for that, so that you can be a healing person in that moment, even if the healing doesn't happen right there. Mm-hmm. It might be one of those things they think about like 10 years later, like, oh, God, that moment, I should have, you know, and know that we have a responsibility and a power that we have to, share, mm-hmm. you know, express. Mm-hmm. So that's my personal thought. I fail often, but that is my goal.
I mean, we all do. I mean, everyone deep down, you got to think about, just wants to be happy and loved and cared for and mm-hmm. live in a place they know isn't going to be destroyed in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that core, that deep personal want, those deep personal needs mm-hmm. that we all share can be accomplished if we all acknowledge that and respect each other and believe that we can do it and believe that apathy is not the answer and that the future can be built, but we have to build it.
Mm-hmm. And build it together.
Yep.
Absolutely. God, it's just so powerful to think that music's going to get that across, and I'm so mm-hmm. excited.
Yeah. I know. For sure. That's what music's always done. So.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's a long line. Mm-hmm.
I've never been able to share this big of a message, mm-hmm. but this is an outlet that's now going to allow me to do so and allow everyone to do so. Mm-hmm, okay. And I think that's really special because especially the younger generation, there's a lot we can't do yet, mm-hmm. but through this and through other different acts, we can share our message, our views, and hopefully spark a little bit of change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
If even just the minds.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Even just getting that little bit in someone to question their own worldview, getting that little nudge see that maybe things can be brighter in the future, that maybe things can be better. Because I notice a lot of apathy among people like me, mm-hmm. especially that have just freshly turned 18, 19, mm-hmm. just starting to vote mm-hmm. and just freaking out about being adults mostly. And I say what can I do if I can't even work at Arby's? What am I supposed to do with the world?
Yeah.
So it's seeing that and then getting to be part of something like this that spreads that deep message of hope that something can change, mm-hmm. that the world can be a better place and we don't have to. It's not thinking realistically to imagine the world is a desolate place in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can be positive and still be realistic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. And to view that positivity as realistic is what we have to do.
Yeah.
We have to manifest that future. It's not going to come about naturally. We got to work together and collaborate as people.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Amen.
How long have you guys been thinking about this again? This whole thing? When did the concept of the 2054 thing come up?
It's been about 2 years, maybe.
That long?
Yeah, I think.
That's it?
I don't believe in time, so I can't.
Well, the thing is, I think the idea of us performing with an orchestra, maybe 2 years, but a year, maybe two.
Oh, so the idea of the orchestra was the initial idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was oh, okay, this is the idea. Now, what does it look like?
And that, honestly, that was all R.A., who unfortunately couldn't be here. But, I'm sorry to speak for you if I said the wrong things, my bad. But I think he took our music, we picked out some tunes, and then we figured out R.A. figured out what the title of the work would be, and he's... has no problems with words and no. storylines, mm-hmm. published author and poet. And Ari literally wrote that entire script. I don't think it took him very long.
It did not take him very long.
So, yeah, the idea of this collaboration with another orchestra may be in the works a year or two, but that script, I think, probably came freely and quite quickly.
And there's a way to tie in the message of the songs spanning from the beginning until current time. How do you take this? Let me go back. I had this dream, and it was a reoccurring dream. I had it maybe like three times. And in the dream, Morning of Black Star was the last band on earth. Like literally. We were like the band that brought this message to the world. And I kept dreaming this dream. And the first time I dreamt it, it was on tour. We were on tour. And we're traveling around the world in this huge, huge like vehicle. And we're going and we're sharing this message. And it feels like that same type of connection. Like, what if you were the only voice and you had the ability to take what you have and lay it out and give hope and give solidarity and express what other humans feel like they can't express. And so when the script came together, I was like, oh, that's like, feels like my dream. Because in my dream, it's like way in the future. The swiftness of how he put it together was like, mm-hmm. whoa.
Mm-hmm. So it's fate.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is so cool.
And Ari is the brainchild of this whole band. So, I mean, we're all kind of characters in his dream in a way, you know. Mm-hmm. But we hold our own, trust me.
Fate is how a lot of things tend to happen.
I know.
With our band.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
What are the instances?
No, thinking of specific moments, I don't know.
Yeah, like we had a drummer try out who didn't do. I don't want to say that. I'm just going to say it didn't work out for whatever reason. And then, you know, Dante just kind of ends up in the band. Nobody can really remember how people joined the band. Mm-hmm. I mean, Peter was there first. It was like, well, I mean, R.A., LaToya Kent, James Longs, mm-hmm. Peter Sodic, and then everybody else started to drop in. And I think most of the people that dropped in had already vowed to never join a band again or like wouldn't be involved in anything like this, you know. But they would just drop in, and then somehow R.A. has the ability to say, like, you know, oh, yeah, we're just going to work on this. Hey, just jump in real quick. And then all of a sudden he's like, you know, well, you're in the band. And is that a command or are you asking? I don't know how that works, but somehow the next week you show up and you're putting things together and you start writing a song and it's really good. And then you find yourself committed, you know. It's like planting a garden. It's perennial, you know. You're just kind of growing things, and you're like, that's really beautiful. Let me see what happens over here. And things join in that you didn't even, like, what's that flower come from? It's beautiful. You didn't plan that, but it joined the party, you know what I mean? So that's kind of how the band started.
It's almost romantic in a way. It's like that courting thing, or it's like also that thing where you wake up and you realize you're in love with somebody, and it's like, oh, well, we're just kind of hanging out, and then eventually you're like, oh my god, like, I'm in love with them and they're in love with me, and now we're gonna take these next steps to do these other things together. And I think that I can't speak for everyone, but there, I feel like each of us had a point where we're like, I really love doing this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really love being with these people. I really love, like, what we have to offer. Mm-hmm. And then it fought. Once you're in love, I mean.
Shout out to John Otta.
Yes.
You know, just saying, hey, what he brings to the team is just insane. Yeah. It's exactly the pieces we needed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we didn't have to go far. It was right there all the time. Mm-hmm. That kind of cliche expression, you know, don't look this, whatever, you have everything you need right here.
Yeah.
It's kind of true in terms of the band, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's a challenge because it's a family, and families argue and families have issues. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows that if the family's ever threatened or if there's a thing we come together mm-hmm. and we support, and there's true love and expression, you know. Mm-hmm. At least that's the hope. That's my definition of family. That doesn't always happen. But, you know, it's a very realistic situation sometimes in terms of the discipline of staying together, you know.
Well, I guess that's one, like, fate moment or kismet even, that, like, Ja, who's mm-hmm. our current bass player, recorded the cycle for us, one of our albums. Mm-hmm.
Now that's gotten world accolades. Yeah. I mean, it's a great album. It's a great album.
James, I remember you said when we were in Rome, like you said you had like dreams of being in Rome or something like that, or always wanted to go. Yeah. And then we were in Rome.
I know. It's crazy. I always wanted to go to Berlin.
Yeah. And we were in Berlin.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sitting there looking at it like, man, this is just crazy. It's wild. Mm-hmm. And it's good. It's a good experience. And now we're involved with you guys.
Yeah.
It continues.
Yeah. We're joining. We're in now.
Say again?
We're in now.
Yeah, the same. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You're part of our DNA.
Yes. Collaborating on music, it's like you said, it's like those friends you really cherish, but you can't for the life of you remember how you met.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's like...
But it's a full-on relationship.
It's like all of a sudden... Yeah, like, it is. I remember how I started playing the violin when I was mm-hmm. a kid, but then I was just handed a viola, and it's like, hey, we don't have enough of them. You want to do it? And I'm like, I guess I'm a violist now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, music always asks that, like what you said, like, is it a demand? Or is it a question? Yeah, you got to decide that for yourself. Mm-hmm. Exactly. When you find something you truly love, is that demanding you to be there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you don't realize and you're just pulled in.
Yeah.
And by the time you realize, you're like, oh, perfect. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm here now.
Yeah.
let's live in the moment.
But it's also nice because it teaches us, we have a wide-ranging age group in our band.
We do.
I happen to be the oldest. It validates those old rules, like discipline, paying attention, being quiet sometimes, you know, attention to detail. All those things come together in music. And then knowing when to be flexible with that. All those life lessons are right in music. And I love that because people will argue, especially young people, not you two. They will argue about the value of like, okay, but this. And I think as older people, we need to listen to that and be open to it because there's always new growth. Youth have pushed every movement since the beginning of time, you know, it's the young people that make change and help us develop into the society we hope to be living in. But
I like that.
Art demands certain things. Even if you push it and try to take it outside of, you know, like expressionism and all these other movements that are just supposed to be slashes of paint or minimalism, just a dot, you're still holding to the rules, to the structure of art. I love the stability of that. I love the fact that no matter what, where you're from, how you grew up, you will understand if I talk to you through the art lens. You will. We'll have a conversation at least, even if we disagree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we're communicating. Mm-hmm. I love the beauty and purity of art.
Talking about like art lens and how it can be seen in so many different areas. I know for this show we're having dancers coming from the audience and representing the people that'll be there in 2054. Mm-hmm. 2054. Sorry.
I got excited.
Only about 30 years off.
Whoops. But how do you think that will help show the energy and the message coming from the stage to the audience?
I think it kind of further extends what is like first happening. So like, you've got Morning and Black Star. We'll be doing our thing with Kaboom. And it's literally taking notes off a page and creating music and creating that vibe. And the dancers are taking that moment between Kaboom and Morning and Black Star and letting that channel through their bodies and movement. And then, like, the audience will feel that for sure. So it's just, like, another extension of what's happening within ourselves individually, and then extending out to everyone else who will be on stage, extending to the dancers, and that they will be extending what they're feeling and their energy to the audience.
And shows another very level of collaboration.
Yeah.
I mean, from a different lens, from a dance lens, from a movement lens, the arts happens to be musically. You know, I mean, it's just, we can all get along if we just adhere to the art rules.
Yeah.
You know, respect, space, pause, timing, attention to detail, and a degree of talent. We can't leave that out. Not everybody can do these things, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it's just if you adhere to those rules and know your place, stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. It's about servicing the art, servicing the creation. Then you're doing golden things, you know, and that's once again, it could be a reflection of society. Mm-hmm. Not so simply, but something that we can work on. A starting point. It's the best starting point I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Art really is that universal language that can really bring us all together. Like what some people say, art is a universal language that everyone can read, but not everyone can write.
Right, exactly.
And so when you really, really think about it, it's like you can show these videos of people dancing to people all over the world, and they'll understand the joy that comes from that. They'll understand like the movement and the language and the music of all of it. Like I once watched two of the most different people I have ever met in my life talk about the same song. And I'm like, I'm sitting there and I'm watching them and I'm like, how does music bring these two very different people together so quickly? And it's beautiful. It really is. And I'm so excited to see that Morning of Black Star and Kaboom are doing that, and we're seeking to do that and really bringing that out on a larger scale.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting. It's funny. It makes me think we were in Germany performing with Africans from, where were they from?
They're from
Nigeria.
Lagos.
Yeah.
Lagos. I mean, such varying experiences. But when we performed together, these Germans, who are obviously a whole nother experience, you know what I mean? Just being German, everybody is just seeing it. I mean, it's literally just beautiful communication. And there was a narrative. But the narrative didn't lead the conversation. It was watching and seeing these people express themselves and being in the moment every microsecond of the performance and seeing this movement and seeing this movement and then hearing the songs and seeing it was just beautiful. It just is representative of what we're trying to do here. You know, it's like there's just too many angles to see this from to not be affected.
Yeah, because I think we'll have the stage setup, the orchestra, you guys, the lighting, the dancers, and just the vibe.
Yep. And the costumes. I mean, the costumes. Whole thing.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah. Let's bring in everything we got.
So if you want to experience that, come to
you will want to experience it.
It's the command. You do want to experience
it. Yeah, you have how you to end up in the band.
You too will be in the band.
In spirit.
Exactly, in spirit. Yeah.
I'm so excited for that vibe and that everything to be there. I personally always look at the lighting, and I know that about myself, but the costumes and the set and the whole thing is really going to further that idea, that collaboration, that bringing everyone together under the roof of art. And moreover, back to why you guys went with Kaboom and stuff, like when you put this orchestra together, did you see it going like where it's gone now?
I didn't have a full expectation, if that makes sense. I think that because the initial practices were separate, so you guys practice and then we get together, I was like almost overwhelmed in the first time we got together. Well, actually each time, because each time we're practicing something different, but it definitely exceeded any expectation I might have had.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Because there's a creativity that you all bring that is very different than what I've even ever seen before for an orchestra. So I feel like it has this youthful energy to it, but it also has this experimental element. And the tastiness of it. Like, it's beyond tasty. Like, there's so many moments where I'm like, oh, that little sound.
Yeah, that little thing. That,
or like, yesterday we were practicing and somebody had a tambourine. I was like, it's perfect. Yeah. You know, so the way that it's like moving in the room is beyond what I could have imagined it would be. So I'm, yeah, like goosebumps and like excitement in my body and all of those things, because it is very different than what I could have even like dreamt up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice.
No, it's really special for all of us too, because every production we do is different and it just brings a new element. And every time you guys come, it's like we hear what we're doing, but then mm-hmm. when you guys join and you like everything's coming together mm-hmm. and it just blends.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Also, shout out to the directors.
Yes.
Because the comments that they're making, the adjustments they make, how they listen, yeah. and what they hear, because they mm-hmm. have your ear and they have our ear. Mm-hmm. It's so smart. It's so dead on. Like, it's never like, I don't ever feel that mm-hmm. thing like, nah, I just have to accept it. You know, it's never anything like that. It's like, it's going to sound weird, but like, they see. Of course they do. They've been in this game for a long time. But it's rare to really see people that see, you know,
yeah.
see us. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. Make it very specific. It's not just see. Mm-hmm. It's like they see us. They can blend you guys with us seamlessly. Mm-hmm. It's great. I love the fact that I know what we do. Mm-hmm. And then so I can really isolate every change and every addition that you guys add. And so I can celebrate mm-hmm. each time that happens. And there's always something in the background. It reminds me of Cirque du Soleil. Thing I like about it. You're looking at this big program, and over here in the corner, there's some mm-hmm. weird spider guy going up the wall. It's like, what the heck's that? You know, I love these little things that just direct your attention in different directions, you know?
Yeah. Going off of what you said about seamlessness, do you know how the design for the songs was, like, the order of them happened? Because everything just flows together seamlessly.
Mm.
Like reading the script and then the songs that go along with it.
That would be another RA mm-hmm. thing.
Okay.
So I think, I mean, I gathered the list of songs that I thought would be like good for Morning of Black Star and an orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And RA took that list and put it in the order that made sense with the script.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure we probably did it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. Were any written for this, or were they all past songs?
They were all past songs, okay. Yeah. We did talk about doing a song, like just collaborating with Kaboom and doing something. Maybe mm-hmm. that'll still happen.
It will.
Yeah. So there may be a new song, which is also why people should come to the show and see what happens. Because I don't know what's going to happen yet. But yeah, so hope that does happen. Where because the way that our band creates is that, you know, we're in a room for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And RA has the beat. And then we just all kind of do our thing as sections, but together.
Mm-hmm.
Vocals, y'all be in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Practicing.
Working it out.
Figuring it out.
Yeah.
One ear listening to you guys, one ear talking to each other.
Yeah,
you
know, I'm just playing random notes to see what feels good.
Yeah. And if it feels good in the room, we're like, this is it.
But
yeah,
stick with that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But we trust each other's artistry. And so I feel like we brought that into the room with Kaboom as well. Like, actually having this complete trust that what you all were going to bring was just going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it has. We come with that like hopeful feel of, okay, this is going to work. Mm-hmm. And because I think everybody has that feel, then we get into the room together and it does work. One of the things I noticed too is like when little changes are made, I feel like everyone in the room is really graceful with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like any backlash, like, oh, change this a little bit, and everybody just jumps right in. Mm-hmm. On both sides, because we're changing some of the ways that we approach the songs as mm-hmm. well, in order to make sure that it's flowing on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But I love how graceful that is. I think that it's a beautiful thing to witness.
I also want to give a shout out to Lonnie Holly. We've been on tour with him for the last darn near 2 years, going all over the world, which is a great experience. But point being, it's improvisational. Every show is different. He'll give us just a phrase, like five phrases, which means five songs, and we have to create in the spot, in the moment, this total song, this complete thing, so you don't ever know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And I think going through that process prepared us for this.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, and allows us to be open and and hear the potential at all times,
the musical potential. Yeah, paying attention to the little teeny little sound. And
what do you leave out? You know, like sometimes silence is a powerful thing. Like just stop. I have a hard time with that sometimes. I always want to go, I want to go. You know? And I'm like, no, James, no. Sit back, wait. You know, but you learn these disciplines.
Yeah.
Yeah, through that experience. So shout out, Bonnie.
And thank you so much for being with us here. I think everyone should know that they do want to go to the show. It is a command. So be there May 31st, 7:30 p.m. at the campus of Baldwin Wallace Conservatory in the Kleist Center. Ticket info coming soon at kaboomcollective.org. Make sure to tune in for the next episode. And thank you, Morning of Black Star.
You're most welcome.